Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warned you.
Welcome to Night of the Living Podcast.
Thanks.
That's Amy. Andy's here.
Pop.
And Kelly, who just popped.
Pop.
He bopped. He bops.
Pop.
They bop. You bop. She bops. The this shabop, theme. Shabop. I wish we could have John Kassir sit in as the Crypt Keeper for the entire theme of NFL.
Yeah.
Because he would have like all these things like
great puns.
Hunchback. You know, and he'd say that instead of Nickelback. He would say things like, you know, why deceiver? I don't know, but he would do it and it would have like elevated the whole theme, but
it's more about how he's saying it than what he's saying.
True.
Yeah.
But those are some weak puns. We'll have to work on that.
But if John Kassir said it, you would be laughing. It's true. Be rolling down the alley.
We would be cracking up.
It would definitely be a cut above.
So we're doing NF Hell because we just ended football season and we wanted to extend it into the rest of February by watching movies that feature mascots. And this week is Brian, who subscribes to our mailing list.
Dr. Brian,
who also is at our meetups every week.
Yeah.
Pretty much, which is awesome.
Been to my home.
Been to our home.
He's a nice man.
He's
my friend.
Buffalo Rider.
But.
Great choice.
Yeah, which I really liked a lot.
But he specifically mentioned
the riff tracks.
Riff tracks. So that's what we watch, which I think is the only way to do it.
Yeah. So if you're going to watch
it,
it with riff tracks.
And technically, these are bison that we're watching.
True, because the buffalo is
not the American buffalo. For roulette, Amy's going to talk about Torn Hearts.
I am.
But before that, in our Patreon, if you're on Patreon, part of that's the Discord server, which we have this music thread on there, which is just like a chat room. And we have a music league we all do together based on the themes. And we had this great conversation before we started recording the show about, I'm trying to remember exactly where we left off in that conversation about music league.
We were talking about how we score.
How we decide to score. If you've never played music league, it's just a thing through Spotify where you can have somebody run a category. In this case, right now we're doing Indigenous Peoples, so the songs have to be by an Indigenous artist. And then everyone listens to the playlist and they vote on it and you win points for getting votes.
Yes.
I just want to explain what it was in case somebody didn't
know. What were we talking about, Music League?
Mm-hmm.
No, what were you bringing up about our discussion about it?
Well, we had this about the torture of the Personal Jesus week where we all had to pick cover of Personal Jesus. But we were getting into like this really great nitty-gritty conversation about Music League. I suggest if that sounds like something you're into to check out the Discord and get involved. But I also
said, our Patreon.
I feel like we all totally lost the thread. By the way, I won both on Origins this week. Because of a Scream television series trivia question, Amy now owes me both an Outback special.
I swear to God.
And because she doubled down, also a Bloomin' Onion. So that's going.
I don't believe in any of this.
There's no losers in this because, Amy, you get a Bloomin' Onion too. No.
I don't want one.
Really what it is in the break between Origins and this, so many fun things happened and now I can't remember any of them.
We were talking about Music League because Andy just joined. He's a newbie.
It was ephemeral friend, you know, friend time.
Yeah, it didn't need to be recreated. Yeah.
You had to be there,
it belongs basically to us.
It's our own private personal Jesus time.
Yes. we were talking about how Andy, you know, did really well in this first round that he's participated in.
I won. I was such I was such a long time holdout because I was nervous about people judging my music taste. But then I realized it's just a fun thing.
You're like Sally. Have you though? Have
you? You've only realized that because you won.
Yes. If I lost
next round, if you don't do so well, he's like, "Fuck y'all!
Burn the league to the ground.
This is no longer fun."
Also, a weird thing, Buffalo Rider, the main attraction we're getting to later. I didn't know this, but I did know this, but you guys didn't know this.
None of us,
or
did.
Neither of us knew this. None of us knew anything, really. Let's just say it. But I was like, this movie's very familiar to me, and I was like, have I seen this Riff Tracks before when we watch it? So when we're Googling, you can't find a lot of information about this movie, but the guy who was the Buffalo Rider in it is like a local celebrity where he lives. And I found an article where they're like, he was the subject of the viral hit Guy on a Buffalo, which is a multi-part. It's an album. You can listen to it on all the streaming services, Guy on a Buffalo. And it's this really goofy song that this songwriter wrote to match clips from Buffalo Rider and made this viral music video series out of them.
That never reached me, Kelly, or Andy.
So 25% of the room knew what it was.
But honestly, I never really knew Chocolate Rain. That was something that missed me too. So maybe I'm
Chocolate
early
Rain.
Internet. I wasn't doing very well.
You knew The Leprechaun in the Tree, though.
Well, fuck yeah.
And you knew Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife.
Yeah, that was later.
But Freddie made it seem like this was on the level of those. And
it was. I feel like it was. If you're listening, can you...
He described it as huge.
It was huge to me. This feels like a Berenstain Bears moment. It's an Adele effect.
An Outback special, too.
Oh, my God. Can I keep racking up Outback specials?
No bets, sir. If it was
huge or not, like how can we decide who won that bet?
I mean, Freddie did say they YouTube based views? A Super Bowl commercial for Zaxby's on it,
right?
So I guess
just
it
last year
is still
maybe
a thing.
It was regionally huge,
yeah,
like in the South where Zaxby's
in
exists.
My living room in my brain.
I just feel like nobody's ever heard of this but Freddie, but that's fine.
Down a Buffalo.
I believe. Let me tell you something. I believe that it was a level of viral.
Yes, I want to believe.
Okay. I absolutely believe that. Huge, though, in terms of viral, is like, what are you talking about? Habada?
Oh,
this is.
Are you talking about?
Like, what does the fox say?
There's no way it's as big as Habada.
Yeah, did Buffalo Rider parlay his virality into an OnlyFans that makes millions?
No, you're right. Habada is probably the king of media.
Is the guy out of Buffalo rapping now?
What now?
Bad Baby.
Bad Baby, she's a rapper now. How about that?
Oh, yeah, she's a rapper.
Or Bahad Baby.
Bahad?
If you want to be specific about her, the spelling of her name.
Yeah, are we living in the past?
We're in our 40s now.
I feel old, really. I do after listening to this week's Origins.
My pop culture references stop at a certain point. Like, I don't know what the kids are doing on the TikToks.
Well, you know when you
I don't know
when you just said, yeah, no, me neither. When you just said living in, here's how old I feel. When you said living in the past, I was like Jethro Tull song.
Yeah.
Speaking of living in the past, Kelly,
I thought good Jethro Tull song, and I was like, "That's an old thing to think."
I love Jethro Tull, man.
Oh, I love Jethro Tull, but it's an old thing to think.
Yeah,
it is. On last week's Topicana, that's also at our Patreon. Right before we started recording, Kelly was telling us about watching old episodes of Supermarket Sweep on Freevee, and that's the first thing I did when we were done.
You got swept in. Mm-hmm.
I turned on Supermarket Sweep, the 1991 season. The clothes, the moms.
Anxiety for some reason.
Freddie made me turn it off.
I had a moment where I couldn't handle
the
combination of all the bright colors of the way people in that show were dressed, the yelling, the screaming, and all of the labels being thrown at me where I'm like, this is
sensory overload.
Sensory overload in the context of capitalism, like fucking refined down to a bullet and shot into my brain.
It is. We've made many. It is funny to think about, like when you look at it, like this is an American. Like, go out, you're gonna win groceries.
Yeah, It feels like RoboCop, dude.
It's so like,
it's Paul Verhoeven's little Mindscape.
There's something a little Running Man-esque about it, but it's also very comforting and comfortable. And I do want to go out and win groceries.
I want to watch it with you. I feel like I would enjoy it more
if you were holding hands with Kelly.
If I could hold your hand and you could protect me from the sum of the sweaters.
You're too woke. You're overanalyzing supermarket sweep.
I overanalyze everything.
The dude that hosts it,
Mark Ruprecht.
Yeah,
he is. Have you? Yes,
he could be 25 years old. He could be 50
or 500 years old. Yes. We say this every time.
Timeless.
He's mumbling.
And then, but hold on.
Okay.
But sometimes, and I want you to look for this. Sometimes it looks like he's made of plastic.
Yeah,
like he looks. He looks like a his face doesn't move.
He has Ken doll hair.
He looks like a living Lego man too. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. Not all the time. That's what's weird. That's why I'm like, did someone put a Mark Ruprecht mask on this man?
Ooh, that's
and try cool. to like, because there's these this one time and his eyebrows looked drawn on. His hair is different colors all the time. And like, his face didn't move when he talked. Oh, there was like, he was looking out of eye holes. That I was like, that's a mask.
The Verhoeven nightmare thing even more intense because now I'm imagining him as Johnny Cab. From Total Recall, kind of like this robot. Oh, Kelly, you get startled?
Yeah, Amber walked up and put her nose against her.
Aww. Oh, Papa no.
But no, he makes me, there's something about it that puts me on edge.
Hi, sweet baby. Excuse me, listeners, I need to Kelly's talk to Amber.
So we can see
hi,
Amber,
sweet
dog.
Baby girl. Are you a bubble girl? Do you need me to boop down
so
nose?
Cute.
A boop down nose. Oh, she's got the most beautiful eyes, you guys.
Adorable.
She's a darling baby. Hello, darling baby.
She would sweep a supermarket.
She would sweep with her tail. Strong
okay,
tail
Kelly,
strength.
What is your hypothetically? You're on supermarket sweep. What's the first thing you go for? What is your strategy?
Well, I think we were talking about on top of Canna. I would go for. I'm going to try and grab inflatables. Like I'm going to try and
get those bonuses.
Get to at least the inflatables in the big like whatever big items are near that. That's what I'm going to head to first. Grab the inflatable on the way to my big ticket items. If I'm in the if I think of something that's in the aisles with the other like the three items that go together, maybe I'll go for that.
I think you gotta get this
big.
I think you gotta
big money
because the inflatable could be $50, but if you get all three items on the shopping list, that's $250 right off the
bat.
But very few people do.
I think the people that do win.
Yes,
and you're welcome, listener.
The one episode I
that's
watched
true. She's right about that.
The team that won had a 40-second disadvantage. But they won because they got the shopping list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you grab more than one inflatable?
No.
Okay, you're just allowed to get one of those bonus items. Okay, I don't know why I'm asking this.
That's just unfair. Can you imagine this housewife just running down the aisle, arms full of inflatables?
Doesn't it also have to go in the cart? You can't just carry shit
you
back.
Carry. Yeah, you can.
You can carry the inflatable. Yeah, you just sling it back at the thing. Man. You can keep filling your cart up.
Some people go straight for the inflatable and then run it back, which is a waste of time.
Adult bookstore sweep.
Adult bookstore sweep. Yes.
That'd be a fun show. We could get the same
at the
host.
Lion's Den?
Yeah.
Same host. You same host. It.
I feel like the Lion's Den is
the
too
Hustler
bright.
Store?
You would do it at like that shop from 8mm.
So which ones are the most expensive?
Real narrow always.
What are the high price items at the adult bookstore?
The fake vaginas and the fake ass.
There aren't any.
Yeah, definitely those.
The Sibians.
Imagine what those inflatables look like.
There's probably one Sibian in every sex shop that's dusty. It's been there since it was invented.
They're like the hams on supermarket sweep. Like the ladies just load up all the Sibians into the cart and all the pulsating
man,
assholes.
All the sex toys for ladies. Have you looked at the pricing lately?
They
jeez
excited.
Louise. Yeah.
It's inflation.
Inflation.
Especially for the ones that cause inflation.
Mm-hmm.
The inflatables.
Zello.
Thank you.
It's been nice to watch Supermarket Sweep as a
comforting
comfort against, we're in the last season of Ozark. I don't know if anybody's watched it here. It is delightful, but it is dark.
Lives up to the hype.
I watch Supermarket Sweep in comfort because I've been living in the world.
Well, that too.
If I will,
the world
this
say.
Is this goes back to a world before the internet.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's true.
Where things existed 3-dimensionally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, there's another Riff Tracks you should watch since this week's feature we did as Riff Tracks, but The Kid's Guide to the Internet. You made me think of it, Kelly. It's A+.
The short.
It's one of the shorts.
Can I tell you guys something very silly that happened to me?
I hope you do.
I was working on a puzzle yesterday. And I was going to finish this fucking puzzle. And all that was left was the hard shit where everything's like the same color. And I'm like struggling and I'm doing it. And it's all the stuff at the top. And it's like it's a portrait oriented 1,000-piece puzzle. So I got to keep standing up and leaving them over the table. My back hurts. And then I have to sit back down and then see where I'm going and get back up. And then one time I sit back down and then the chair collapsed underneath me.
Oh no, I've had that happen.
And I just fell to the side, landed on my fucking shoulder, which still hurts. And Freddie is standing there and he goes, "Oh no, Millie."
I thought it was the dog. I never thought in 1,000 years the sound I heard was you falling. I thought Millie had wiped out because she sometimes will hit the, you know, the flooring the wrong way and wipe out. And that's exactly what it sounded like. But it was you. And you were all crumpled up in the corner. And I carried you around the house, bleeding everywhere, and like
leaving a trail.
And I was going, "Why, God, why?"
How was the puzzle? Was the puzzle okay?
Puzzle was missing one piece, and I'm starting to think it's not the puzzle. It might be me.
It's jammed inside of you. From your fall.
Oh, you fell on it.
See, I don't
when
know.
When you said you fell, I just imagined the puzzle just going up in the air.
Oh,
no, the puzzle was fine.
Pieces just raining on you.
Nope, just personal injury.
But the night before, I was like, Freddie Morris was...
I was tightening
He was tightening the screws on the chairs, and then I fall?
Yep.
You sure
it's a weird coincidence, isn't it?
Are you sure he was tightening or loosening?
This is what I'm saying,
Maybe
Andy.
I'm just saying you follow through on those bets and get me that. if you're upright...
Or I shouldn't sit on any chair.
What happens if she can't pay up, Freddie? Are you going to bust her thumbs?
Yeah. It's a real nice-looking puzzle. It'd be a shame if you fell down next to it.
Oh yeah,
it was gonna be like Casino. He's gonna put your head in a vise.
Mm-hmm.
Your eyes are gonna pop out
right out.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of dark, we just finished watching Stolen Youth, the story of the Sarah Lawrence cult.
Oh shit! Yeah, I've heard about that.
Now, if you want to delve into some crazy,
I've kind of
very dark shit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
What's the Sarah Lawrence cult?
This dad.
Oh no, I did hear about this. He kind of moved into their dorm at some point and like brainwashed some of the kids or something. Is that who I'm thinking of?
That's the story. That's part of it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. It's bonkers.
I feel like he was on Neighbors from Hell or one of those shows we watch where they told the story in like a really small way and it was like, I could see, obviously, it must be a much bigger story. They expanded out.
Like a small, I bet it wasn't on Neighbors from Hell.
It was on one of those shows similar where it was just one story in, you know, where they do a different story every episode. And they kind of just made it like, can you believe this wacky thing that happened? It wasn't like treated with much gravitas the way, or, you know,
right.
Like they treated it like it was just one of these many crimes they covered with everything else.
Yeah. When it just also like it was still going on, so like I think the trial, I don't know if it wrapped in 2021 or 2022.
I was gonna say it's very recent as far as like,
oh, not the spoiler alert. Yeah.
You mean the court case?
Yeah,
so yeah, because I remember I don't know why I'm thinking Neighbors from Hell, but I do think it was
okay,
like, it might have been Bad Roommates or something.
Then
like
I get an Outback back special. No, maybe. I guess it Kelly
but
would.
But my point is that they treated this guy who did this massive crime as like a Bad Roommate story.
Yeah. The Bad Roommates one will sometimes agree. Yeah, they go back and forth. Sometimes it's not big enough, sometimes they make too much.
It's too big.
Anyway, this is just bananas, and you're like, what?
You're like, what?
But it's a 3-part docu-series.
Where is it?
And it's on Hulu.
Hulu,
and there's like you can find more information about it, about both the docu-series and the events. On the internet.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it.
Oh, on the internet, you say.
I thought you were going to say it at your local library.
Where your local library?
Well, you can find it on your local library on the internet.
Yeah, or you can find it in riddle form in one of the aisles of Supermarket Sweep, taped to the back of a box of Tide.
Is that what stresses you? Okay, what stresses me out most about Supermarket Sweep is the end, where they have a minute to find all the...
It's the whole thing,
because
man.
They've come all this way. Yes. They still haven't won any real money.
Yeah. It's not even that I care about the people in Supermarket Sweep in any way.
We're going to be talking about this until you finish the series.
I'm scared of it.
I'm not going to finish the series.
It's exciting. I'm going to.
I'm like scared of it.
It's exciting.
Yeah. The way that like the crew of the Arkham was scared of the Mountains of Madness, kind of scared. You know what I'm saying, Kelly? Like, I see mysterious cones when I look at Supermarket Sweep, and I can't put them in phylums.
Do you want a follow-up series where they visit the contestants after what happened, the aftermath of Supermarket Sweep?
Yes, I do want the Unsolved Mysteries update.
You think the Rupert character is a cult leader too?
Maybe.
Yes.
Although the women, there are moments where it feels like he doesn't know what to do with some of the sexual advances that are thrown his way.
These ladies,
they haven't programmed him yet.
Yeah. Are out and about.
Yeah. Do you guys want?
They got their scrunchies. They're ready to go. You got a scrunchie on the wrist. You're DTF. Okay. And you know it.
Man. It's always like a team of like two co-eds.
Yeah.
It's also comforting to watch the products that don't exist anymore.
Oh, I do like that
part. Yes, yeah, that's the best part. Because
White Rain showed up the other day.
Yeah. That doesn't exist anymore?
Doesn't it?
I think it's bottom shelf.
Yeah. I'm not a hairspray.
I think it does exist.
But these big products that they were huge back in the 90s, it's nice to see them exist.
Die?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what popped right into my head. The first episode we watched, he read the riddle and it was like, blah, 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 wash your hair. Like, it was Prell. I shouted Prell without a moment's hesitation.
Yeah.
Without a moment's hesitation. I was like, it's Prell.
I watched that same episode, Kelly, and did the same thing. I was like, Prell. And then I was like, Prell.
I told Freddie that we need to go to the store, find these old brands, and sniff them because it will be a time.
Yeah.
Like,
I really love
traveling like moments.
Strawberry.
You can make a scavenger hunt out of it.
There you go.
Caress.
Your own Supermarket Sweep.
I love the smell of Caress.
Oh, what was the soap they brought up? Was it?
Yeah, soap.
Was it lava?
Oh, no. It was something even goofier.
Life buoy.
Remember when they made soaps? Like, and they made commercials for them?
Yeah.
Like, they still make soaps, but like, they used to make commercials for all different bars. Bar soap.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
zest
the hell was
fully,
it?
Zestfully clean.
Yeah, remember the end?
Something like zest, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Irish Spring.
With the towel at the end where they whip the towel.
Oh, and they snap
and it spells zest.
Dial. Yeah.
That was a good one, man.
All right.
Might have been Dial.
No.
No.
Man, this is turning to Lake Wobegon.
Okay.
Reminisce. Okay.
Yeah, man, I was so drunk and I was fucking chicks. Would that be better?
I don't know.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
I noticed the moment you walked in the door, you have that extra something special. You're a real star.
I'm tired of playing to mid-sized crowds in Nashville. We can do something bigger.
Cheers.
Still early. Y'all gonna raise some hell or what?
Let me grab my purse.
Oh my God. Upper Dutch? Lee and I are obsessed with the Duchess sisters. Is that her house?
Yeah.
What if I told you I got Harper Dutch's address?
How did you get that?
Caleb gave it to me.
Oh, I bet he did.
But we can't just show up at our house.
So you want me to do a song with you? Y'all any good?
Well, we'd love to show you.
Which one of you is better?
Or equals.
Yeah.
You better drink my damn booze. Torn Hearts with Harper Dutch is a great idea.
We're doing a song with Harper. This is how we celebrate.
This is weird. Pretty sure Harper killed Hope.
Oh my God.
Harper is trying to turn us against each other.
My house. I will
tear it to shreds to get to you too.
The girls just came by for some free advice on a whim.
Nothing's free in Nashville, is it?
So, yes, hello.
Harper, Harper, Harper.
That's a very overwrought trailer.
It's an overwrought movie.
Yeah. Torn Hearts is its name. And Being a Movie is its game. Katie Sagal, who is a goddess.
Mm-hmm. Lover.
Lover so much. She's in this movie, and she's a great thing in it. It's an okay movie. I'm just going to start there. It's okay. Right. It's well done. But it doesn't really rise to my expectations. It's kind of meh. So I will say that.
Sunset Boulevard did it better.
It's essentially that with a little other horror stuff. If I said it, it'd be a spoiler.
There's an episode of Atlanta that is this movie essentially that is really great.
Okay.
So is it like more of a thriller? Or like a psychological thing?
It's like a psychological horror movie. These two young ladies, they are a band, and they're called Torn Hearts, and they do the country music, and they're in Nashville, and they're trying to make it. And their manager is played by the dude from The Blair Witch, Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And
Joshua.
He's dating one of the girls in the band, but he's like a lot older than her. But anyway, it's like they're at a bar. They meet this other country guy. The one girl goes off to sleep with him, figures out the address of her idol, this band, the Duchess Sisters, which was Katie Sagal and her sister, Hope.
Did it feel like, was this supposed to be a riff on the Judds?
The Judds in some way, even though that was mother-daughter, but
it felt like
this
the
is a Judds thing.
Me.
Oh, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, this movie is probably made well before that, but the one sister has been dead for a long time because she committed suicide. So I was like, ooh, those are uncomfortable parallels that I know the movie did not intend.
Yeah.
It was directed by Bria Grant, who's like an indie darling. She's been in stuff we've talked about before. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
she's really committed like to indie horror now, I think, in a big way, which is cool to see somebody just who
she was
on
the one
Heroes.
Who optioned Jeremy Shipp's book.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm, her
oh,
company.
That's so great.
Yeah. So they figure out this lady's address and they're going to go meet her because they're like, this is a way we can get her to help us or, you know, do a song with us or something. So they head out there and she lives way out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And it's Katie Sagal, of course. Loved the house. It was so creaky and they had to have filmed in a real house. Because, like, the way the doors creaked when they opened and closed and, like, the way you could always hear something creaking, it had to be a real house.
You think
not
they were
set.
Like, we wouldn't bother doing all of that work in post, putting Foley creaks in and stuff.
It would
like,
be silly.
It'd be silly to put that level of creakage in.
Yeah. That would just be an unnecessary budget line item, I would think.
Some guy had to cancel dinner with his ailing mother because he had to put creaks into Torn Hearts for Blumhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Mom, I just can't make it. I got to put at least 40 more creaks in the night. Jason Blum's going to have my head.
Well, anyway, I liked the house. Like, listen, the house is, you know, not, like, clean or anything, so you can't be like, ew, Amy, why do you like gross? Well, it's like I liked the house, not the filth in it.
Right, sure.
So, you know, it's very clear. Her name is Harper. That's Katie Sagal's character. That she has just maybe gone insane. She's living alone. Her sister's dead. She doesn't have anyone there. Her fame has gone, you know. And she's not stable. And then, you know, you heard in the trailer, like, she tries to pit the girls against each other.
I love that moment when she asks which one is better.
Yeah. And then she makes them have a slap fight, which cracks me up. But also...
Slap!
You've seen, like, they're trying to make slap fighting a sport.
Well, they did kind of.
The MMA guy.
It's horrible though, because like
awful.
Some of those, like I saw a guy seize up.
You can get concussions and break your bones in your head.
Like all they literally do is slap each other?
Yes.
That one guy got slapped so hard. You ever see when someone is
your eye would pop
they
out.
Do the fetal position thing and a lot of times they die. but there's a video of someone doing that.
I guess
that.
If boxing is a sport, why not slap fighting?
I feel like boxing at least used to be
There's protection.
And there's so many rules in boxing.
So you just let people slap you.
Yes. Yeah, as hard as they possibly can.
Oh, you don't. You're not dodging and
It's like front hand, back hand.
Yeah. Okay. It looks like when they do arm wrestling matches and they both step to the table. It's like that, except they just slap the shit out of each other.
What are the kids doing nowadays? My lord.
I don't know, man. Supermarket sweep.
It's awful. Let's go back to supermarket sweep.
Supermarket slap.
Gentler.
I'm guessing Harper's sister didn't kill herself. Was that like the kind of like the underlying thing?
I'll never tell.
I'll never tell.
I thought the house was good house porn, great costume porn, because all of that, like, very rhinestone-y.
Good hardcore porn.
Porn.
Good porn. I loved all the accoutrement of like the elder stateswomen of country music, you know, and
like the rhinestones and the
boas
fringe.
And just, yes, it's so fun. It was like going to that Chasing Butterflies museum at Dollywood, seeing all of Dolly's stuff.
But if it was haunted with madness.
But if it was haunted with madness.
So what's stopping the girls from leaving? Is it some kidnapping thing?
No, it's more subtle. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Amy. I watched this.
I mean, you know, they just don't. It's, you know, that's not like, it's explained.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought, you know, it's good.
It felt like ambition was the reason they stuck around, because they knew.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things where you could walk out at any time, but you blow this chance.
Right.
So it was almost like Saw in that respect, where they're playing a game and they're kind of debating on how far they'll go.
With a crazy person.
Yeah. Mm. With a gatekeeper, a crazy gatekeeper.
I think Katie Sagal can convince me to do some of those things to other people.
Like, if she ran for president.
She's pretty great.
Yeah, she'd be like, hey, Andy, go slap Freddy. I'm like, okay.
I do it.
You've been wanting to do that anyway.
So. Well,
if Katie Sagal told me, I'd
once a year, I'm going to set up a place where you guys can just slap me for all the things that I've done that have annoyed you during the year.
Oh, boy.
I don't need to slap you.
Yeah. Aw, I love you, Kelly.
Can
I
slap your ass? How about that?
Right on. Oh, he likes that.
Cheeks right down your forehead.
I did have a thought during the movie. She says, Katie Sagal's character at one point says, they don't know what to do with you after you turn 35 or something like that. With a woman after she turns 35. And then I was just like, well, I'm 43. And I was thinking about it. And then I, for whatever reason, my brain jumps to old like talk shows from the 90s where the kid was bringing on their mom because their mom was still dressing like a young person and dressing sexy. And the kids are like, you're embarrassing me. You can't do this anymore. And like the whole audience is like, you're a bad mom. You're a bad person. You're a slut and a whore. And it's like, I feel bad for those moms now.
That's
they
the
were just trying to live their
the
life.
World of supermarket sweep you've put on a pedestal right there.
Yeah.
Up there with your Mark, what's his nuts is. What's his name again?
Ruprecht.
Ruprecht up there, just on the pile of cultural shame.
Sounds like a little, like a mischievous little elf.
Yeah, Ruprecht. You have to say his true name, otherwise your mom has to continue being a smart baby.
Now, I'm not condoning if these women were truly, in fact, bad mothers, like going out, leaving their kids alone, drinking too much, displaying bad judgment.
It was a different
Those
time.
Are bad. But if you want to dress like you still shop at Forever 21 and you're in your 40s,
do it.
Did your
mother buy bicycle shorts? Write me. My name is Phil. I'm Red Glasses John. Phil Red Glasses John here on Fox 14 in your hometown. Did your mom buy bike shorts? Are you ashamed?
I don't know what you're doing.
You could be on our show. We'll have a registered
sex
guy
offenders.
From a bike shop that sells those shorts here to tell her to stop it.
A bike shop.
Torn hearts.
Where you get bike shorts.
It doesn't go far enough. It doesn't do enough for me.
Out.
Oh, there you go.
But it has the kernel of fun.
How's Katie Sagal is always good, right?
And she sings, and I think like that's live singing in a room.
Sounds good.
Sounds amazing.
Those moments
actually,
are my
all
favorite
the music
moments.
Was really good.
Yeah, and I think they had some legit like the songwriters who like they took the time to make it really feel like Nashville. I think
any cameos by country artists.
No, unless that one dude was one. I didn't look up anybody. But no, there was barely anybody in the movie. There was like four or five characters.
Wouldn't it have been funny if they got Shania Twain?
Fuck.
And she was, you know, the other sister. And they find her bones later. And they're like, those are Shania Twain's bones.
Whose bones?
Shania Twain. Bam, 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 bam. I feel like evidence.
Don't impress me much.
Oh, you're dead.
So you're alive and living in our family home still. Don't impress me much. Okay, just a go.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Thus ends my review.
Amy.
There you go.
You nailed it. I felt exactly the same way you did.
All right. Now, I did watch it while I was working, so my attention was split, but I also
watch it while you work.
It wouldn't have changed my thoughts. Okay, so for next week or the next time we do roulette, the person will be watching a movie that Esther actually recommended to me, our good friend Esther. Nocebo.
I guessed.
Did you?
This would be the next. Did Russian you? Roulette.
Really?
I did. Because we watched the trailer and then I was like, this looks kind of cool. And then Esther posted that it was.
Oh,
cool.
She did. Okay. A fashion designer is suffering from a mysterious illness that puzzles her doctors and frustrates her husband until help arrives in the form of a Filipino carer who uses traditional folk healing to reveal a horrifying truth.
Mm. Eva Green, one of my favorites.
Oh, I love her.
Do you just love her?
I love her in movies. I don't know anything about her personally.
Nobody was saying he had to fucking
marry
her.
I'm terrified of saying I like anybody anymore after listening to Origins all the time. We're like, okay. You know who makes great movies? It's Harvey Weinstein. Anything with his name on its quality. R. Kelly, Ignition.
Nobody,
my jam.
Nobody worried about any of this in
1991. No. Because we had beautiful blinders that protected us from the realities of celebrity life. And we were just
we were just pushing a cart down an aisle.
Just pushing a cart down an aisle, throwing hams in it. Innocent hams.
Innocent hams.
You ready to see who's going to watch this?
Except for Michael Jackson. We had a lot of stuff about him.
Yeah, we kind of also knew.
But it was kind of jokey, though.
A lot early. We didn't want to take it out of the realm of jokes.
We chose not to believe that.
We kind of joked about it.
Oh. Andy.
Nocebo.
Congratulations.
I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that correctly, too. I don't know if it's like a play on the word placebo or if this is, in fact, another word from another language that I don't know.
Nocebo, you're like, I see you over there, Sebo. None of you.
No, you see Bo over there. Bo, he's over there.
No Peebo.
No,
Peebo Bryson?
No Peebo Bryson.
All right. We'll be right back.
Peebo Bryson.
There is a young man. Few people have known. Rides the wild buffalo, Buffalo Jones. He loved Buffalo.
He loved Buffalo.
This song.
It's a decent song. This whole thing, and before we jump into it, now I will agree, I couldn't sit through this attentively without the riff tracks. I'll see that. But I do, this is a kind of movie I would have loved as a kid. I love Grizzly Adams so much. This kind of, any kind of nature thing, and that narrator, I don't know if it's a narrator from like Charlotte's Web and every other thing that looked like this, but it's like this very comforting, like, oh,
folksy.
Yeah, folksy. Tell me about what the raccoons are doing, sir.
Bandit?
You're making me, bandit.
Okay.
Anyway,
It's I know it's kind of like a throwaway movie, but the footage they got was pretty amazing, right?
Well, it's really amazing.
Horrifying, a lot of
it. Yes, but it's just fascinating how they got some of this footage.
Because that guy was the real McCoy.
Yeah.
And he was out there doing that stuff.
He was out there and fought a fucking bobcat or whatever.
Just watching some of the footage they got, did they have a script in mind or did they just go out and get footage? And
I don't know.
I can tell you.
I think the second one. Yeah,
the scene, there's a scene in the movie where Buffalo Jones, which they should have named the movie Buffalo Jones. I still don't understand why they call it Buffalo Rider.
Buffalo Jones.
Because he rode a buffalo.
I get that part. Buffalo Jones is such a catchy name. It's like I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Well, they probably would have thought that it, like, he probably wanted to take it seriously. He was like, call it Buffalo Jones, man. It makes me sound like some kind of a street kind of criminal. I don't want to be remembered. He's a Buffalo Rider, all right?
I think you're onto something there, Kelly.
And part of it felt like a kid's movie, except for the murder part.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's what I was going to say. This is such a sweet movie, but also incredibly violent.
Yes.
So take away the
actual violence.
Take away the murder of the mother and almost murder of the baby.
Yeah.
You have like a Milo and Otis type movie where you're just watching animals in the wild.
You almost watch except when die.
Again, except for when the animals are like red in tooth and claw, yes. Or yes. People are just gunning them down willy-nilly.
Yeah. Did they actually? I feel they shot buffalo.
Footage, I feel like they were actually about to skin a dead bison.
And you can't find this. I haven't been able to find the information.
I don't see anything either.
Probably no one knows.
What I did find is that scene where he's hunting and he has he's got the gun, you know, lined up and ready to shoot, and that cougar jumps on his back. That fucking batshit moment in the movie where you're like, what the fuck?
As it was a cougar, he's fighting a fucking cougar.
That just really happened. That was an accident. That cougar really stalked him and pounced.
Yes, I feel like a lot of things just accidentally happened.
Yeah.
Like
it's nature photography,
that's
really.
That's what I'm saying. But it's just fascinating that they kept the actors in the scene and they like, keep acting.
Well, he's the actor.
I know, but it's like, don't run. Just
they're not
there.
Using any of the audio, which I think would sound like,
They're like, you crazy guy who agreed to do just about everything. Will you continue to do just about anything? So, and he's like, yeah, I will.
This was 1977. I would, I meant to look up when did the Humane Society start getting involved in film production. I didn't.
Andy's looking for you.
But 1976-77, Buffalo Rider, it's the tale of Jake Jones, who becomes Buffalo Jones, who saves the babies, rides Samson the Buffalo, hangs out with Bandit the Raccoon, fights a cougar.
Yeah.
Was there a turtle somewhere, or am I mixing that up with something else that we were watching?
I don't remember a turtle.
And there was no turtle. There were raccoon babies.
You think he fought a turtle?
I can't remember. I can't remember anything.
Well, you know, it spends so much of the first act of this movie is the character trying to tame Samson, the buffalo.
It's that and the tale of buffalo hunting and why and what it was like and setting up our villain.
It's interesting. It starts off that way because you get this huge act, in the beginning of the movie, it totally feels like just an educational nature film.
Yeah
just American a nature history. Movie.
Yeah. And then it becomes like after you get all that stuff about wiping out the American buffalo, it becomes like Jeremiah Jones.
It's a revenge story. It's like True Grit or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's both. And there is even the story is decent, surprisingly decent. It's so violent.
Yeah.
Well, there's just,
it's so adorable. There's little raccoons, and you're like,
about Bandit, because Bandit stole my heart.
And Bandit's babies.
There were many bandits, because I feel many many raccoons died.
That was Bandit number 17, which is what they say on the riff track.
This is why the riff tracks is important.
Bandit the raccoon.
We saw a cougar almost drown a rabbit. I mean, not a
raccoon. We had to watch the cougar hold Bandit the raccoon down in the water. That was so uncomfortable for me, even though he lives. Because it turns out later.
Yeah.
She had babies.
But here's was Bandit in the script or they just came across footage and said, let's throw him in?
I'm going to go with throw it in.
Probably everything was like, yeah, they probably had all that footage and then built the movie around it.
It was this intense scene of this raccoon being stalked and then having to fight off fucking cougar on an icy, like, river.
And they're falling through the ice and everything.
And intense. There's blood and there's drowning.
The look on the raccoon's face, though, when it, like, it comes out of the water and it looks over there like, yeah, yeah. Come on, buddy. You want to dance, old man?
I love raccoons, man. There's cute. So many times when I've been like, I'm bringing one into the home.
No, you're not.
We have a shit ton of them out behind our privacy fence in our little creek area behind the house. You can hear them. You can't. I've never seen them, but we hear the. We weren't sure what the dogs were barking at out there, and then like one night I was listening, all of a sudden I heard the little.
The chitter.
So and now cute. You hear it.
Yeah.
I love critters.
And I was like, oh, it's not a Sasquatch, hopefully. It is just raccoons, I think.
I mean, I definitely have way too many cables and wires and instruments and all kinds of crap laying around that I could never, ever bring an animal with opposable thumbs into this house.
Don't bring a raccoon in the house.
No, it's a bad idea.
They don't want that.
They're not domesticated.
You don't want that.
Little hands. Little hands is the difference. That's the problem when you give them little hands, any animal.
But they're Freddy so cute. Wants you.
They're just like, it's like giving a gun to somebody.
Little hands with claws on them, too.
Little hands.
The villains they set up in Buffalo Rider are this group of, like, fucking drunk, money-grubbing buffalo trappers.
They're gross looking, too.
Fur skinners.
They are. But I love...
I was just going to say, the head villain dude, though, has bleached blonde hair. Because this was the 70s, baby. Anyway.
Yeah, it was.
I feel it can't be explained, since he's always outside, that the sun
that
could
in 1890
have
something,
they
whatever.
Showed him spraying sun in. Into it.
I think he was supposed to be older, too. Like, I feel like they kept saying he was old. You're talking about the main guy, right?
Yeah,
like the one who chases off the other guy?
It could have been a hide, too. Might not have even been his hair.
Could have been.
I also feel like this movie had a real good heart. Like, it had its heart in the right place. Like, it was,
a message,
you know.
Like, about environmentalism.
Yeah. It was lamenting what happened to the buffalo. It wasn't like, just like, and this is just a thing. Ha ha. People keep buffalo every day.
The villains are the ones that overhunted and just shooting them willy-nilly without a care in the world.
By the way, when we're done with the podcast, I feel like I got to go watch that Zaxby's ad. I got to know.
We'll talk about it.
About
later.
The man riding the giant boneless buffalo chicken wing that was inspired by this movie.
You got me hungry now.
Oh, it sounds good, right?
You sure you want a Outback special, or do you want a Wingstop?
Well, she's not getting me anything today.
All right.
We need the money first, don't you see?
Back to the movie.
We haven't earned the money yet.
There's this. Jake Jones, Buffalo Jones, he meets up with this family because he's sick. Because he got shot. I don't really remember. Because people want his buffalo. They want Samson because they're like, shit, I want to ride a buffalo too.
He's like a David
Crockett. Or they want to kill him and skin him.
And they want to kill
him.
He's
like a David Crockett type, right? This legend.
Yeah.
It's like Pee Wee's bike. Yeah.
And our villain shoot at him. He's dying. He finds the Robinsons. Is that what their name was?
The Robinsons, yeah.
And they.
Old Samson, he like kind of. Carries him to the Robinson place.
He finds him
help. He knew.
Because they're bonded. Samson.
Three Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like Avatar.
It's his Avatar.
It's like his Banshee.
Yep.
Did you think of the Amish characters from Letterkenny at all when he got
Dicks?
The Dicks?
Yeah. There's
leaving a dick?
You guys don't know.
It reminded me a little bit. I would love to see the cast of Letterkenny remake this movie. And just tweak it a little bit.
Wait, doesn't the dude, Mr. Robinson, doesn't he fight a bear?
He gets attacked by a bear. He doesn't fight a bear.
Right.
He gets attacked by a bear. And then another bear inadvertently saves his life by picking a fight with the first bear.
That was
an intense
bear fight.
Yeah, it was.
And it was intense. They were tearing the shit out of each other. And then Buffalo Jones goes and drags... Mr. Robinson to the safety of his home, not that far from where the giant bears are fighting.
Yes. It's just like right there. But the bears get broken up. I don't remember. Did he shoot or something?
They just stopped fighting
and then
realized.
And then
that
I was like,
gone.
Are these stunt bears? I couldn't tell if in this moment these were stunt bears and then they issued the command to make them stop. I don't know how they did
this. They were bleeding.
Because that man laid on the ground next to the fighting bears.
He played dead, I think.
It was in the camera shot. Yeah. That man was laying there next to fighting huge fucking bears. Like none of these stunts were approved by any union.
That man died on set later that day. Like all of his other scenes had already been shot. You didn't even know that.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, and I did like in the riff tracks jokes, they made jokes about gay bears.
Oh, it was cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They we're talking a lot about the actual movie, which is fun. But the riff track stuff is also really good.
Yeah, but that was just an interesting thing they threw in about gay bear culture.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love that. That's one of the things about
this was riff a tracks. Very funny riff track.
Their writers, they're so good at really picking things out of culture and just making just the right mix usually of references. I love what they do. I'm a huge fan.
We've been watching so much of it. I've really started to notice how good they are at putting the jokes in spots so that you can, and then the dialogue will come back in so that you're not really lost. Didn't miss anything.
The tone of the movie. That's the thing. A lot of people think what they do is easy until you realize in this one, they impersonate the narrator at points, and it's seamless.
And part-time narrator.
And then, but they also match the tone of characters or what's happening in the soundtrack. They know where the jokes and the score to the movie are, where the best places, pointing out.
Yeah, there's running jokes throughout the whole movie.
It's unreal what they do.
Keep track of everything.
Well, that's what was so good. That's why I remember the look on the raccoon's face, because they make a joke about it.
Yeah, and tell everyone I kicked your ass.
Yeah, and they nail it. Their tone of the voice nails what the raccoon is doing. It's very it's like a comic strip.
Fourth wall breaking in terms of them talking from characters in the movie.
And they're great at reacting to things that you are having that in the moment, having that same reaction, when the cougar tackles them, the unplanned cougar attack scene where they are shocked by it, even though, let's be real, they're probably doing multiple takes of these bits and everything, but they time their jokes perfectly.
And it feels organic. That's one of the best parts of the riff tracks. It doesn't feel forced.
Yeah.
And so great. One of them does song parodies. He did a version of Buffalo Jones song.
Buffalo Jones.
I thought I was going to watch a baby raccoon die, but it didn't. So just, it was touch and go for a sec.
You didn't watch it
die. I was very worried Samson died
later.
I'm going to believe that's not true.
It was so nail biting when the raccoon was floating down the river.
Yeah, this little baby.
The ice scene.
Oh, the ice scene was super intense.
I feel like that was an actual torrent of water, the coming down.
I hope they didn't put a raccoon in danger.
Do you think they threw a raccoon on the ice?
I don't know.
It was our bicentennial. We were pretty cocky back then. We thought we could do anything.
Your bicentennial?
Bicentennial.
But that scene happened right after the raccoon got away from the cougar. And I felt that footage was kind of seamless. I don't think it happened back to back.
Yeah.
Oh, they're editing. This movie is heavily edited. It's like a creation in the editing room.
But it was
entirely
good editing. I bought Bandit's Adventure.
Oh, yeah. It was an adventure.
Yeah. I was worried that Samson would end up getting shot in the end trying to save
Buffalo in front of
Johnson
a bullet.
Or whatever his name was. That's what I thought exactly was going to happen. But it didn't. So you animal lovers know, you don't have to worry. Samson.
All the animals they make you love live. So don't worry. I mean,
he lives on to carry that man around on his back a slave.
Anonymous Bison definitely did die, I think, for this movie.
That's a good rapper name.
Anonymous Bison. When he leaves the Robinsons, he stumbles across their family that they were waiting for, and they've been killed by our villains because they stole all their shit. That's not a fun scene.
It's a chilling scene. Yeah. It's a chilling scene watching them plan it. Mm-hmm. Like when they're up on the ridge, like talking about it. And he's like, "No, we'll wait till dark." It is. It's a chilling murder. And but the big guy doesn't think they should have killed the woman.
Right. Oh, somebody's got morals.
Look, I draw the. I always this is we were watching Ozark, and I always love two things where they do with a villain is when they're offended that someone thinks they'll do something bad because it's like I don't kill children.
Like you kill everybody like, all else.
This fucking nightmare stuff. Like and I love that about like it's that if I ever were to write like a movie that had a villain, you have to have them being offended by someone. Assuming they'll do something bad in there. That's like a, that's a, that.
Or some other villain doing something that they won't stoop. Even right. I wouldn't mm-hmm. stoop to that.
Yeah, exactly. I love that shit.
But they, you love seeing a villain like, be like, I have a standard.
Yeah. Look, I'm
it makes you love him a little bit. Being. Yeah.
So they didn't kill the baby though. So Buffalo Jones
left it to die though.
They left it to die. So Buffalo Jones finds the baby and he's like, got to take it back to the Robinsons. And the quickest way to do that, because the baby's going to starve to death, because who's going to feed this baby, is to go this really intense route over a mountain through a river and shit. And I'm sorry, that baby has shaken baby syndrome and there's no hope.
Yeah, they went through multiple babies on set.
Bison are not a smooth ride. I'll tell you that one to begin with. Then we're going through this baby's getting shaken this way.
It is getting drowned.
It's tied to the side of the fucking bison. That baby went under the water and above the water and under the water for a little bit longer.
Here's the thing. I know that there wasn't a baby hooked to a buffalo, and I know he wasn't carrying the baby through a rushing river, but it made... I felt... I was like, whoa.
I know. It was exciting.
Just because I saw like actual footage of... a raccoon almost being murdered. So I took that and took the leap to saying like, oh, there's an actual baby on that buffalo.
It could be.
This movie surprised me a bunch of times.
You're like, there could be a baby in that little satchel tied to the side of this bison.
Because we saw multiple scenes where actors are in genuine danger.
Yes.
So I figured like, hey, they why wouldn't they put a baby in a river?
Like... yeah, but it's okay. He got the baby there, and it's going to be all right.
When
you
told
you
the producer that, he was like, I would never put a baby in a river. Now pick up all these raccoon corpses.
Bandit, no.
What was his reasoning for wanting to tame Samson and ride him?
Because he was aloof.
Because Samson was aloof.
Yeah, it was like...
The animal.
The animal Samson.
I think it was a thing also.
Well, he saved the... Samson from, he was a, like, his mother got shot.
He nursed him back to health.
Yeah. He nursed him back. I think that's just what you did when you found a big animal. Okay. And you nursed it back to health and it got real big. You're like, I'm going to ride this thing.
I'm going to put a fucking saddle on it.
He's like, I want to be inside of you, Samson, but I think riding you I think I could settle for riding you, Samson.
What's funny is every time that's.
I like that it's Buffalo Bill. Yeah. That is talking to Samson in your bed. It sounds like.
Interesting, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to ride this buffalo. And then every time he's on the buffalo, it's the most uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He's swaying side to side. He looks like he's going to fall off at every moment. But God damn it, he did
like,
it.
It was like, sir, at one point you had a horse.
It's like
you didn't need to tame that buffalo.
Well, they pointed that out.
You could have just been friends. You could have hung out. You didn't have to ride him.
There's a movie called Breakout. I think with Charles Bronson, remember where he's flying the helicopter and is all over the fucking place? And you're like, everyone's going to die. But it's part of the character they didn't know how to fly it. But you're like, whoa. You're like watching it. And you're just like, your teeth. You're grinding your teeth and holding on to your seat.
That's watching Buffalo Jones on Samson.
Buffalo Jones riding Samson in the beginning of the movie. Is that
yeah.
Out the fucking
well, that's because it's like, oh, this guy is riding a buffalo. That doesn't want to be ridden, just like in the movie.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is happening. Real.
Mm-hmm.
And this man really did tame this. I mean, he was able to ride this buffalo. Like he was able to do it before this movie was made.
They caught the 7 minutes of time where the buffalo was too tired to fight. And that was stitched together into the scenes where he seemed like he'd been tamed.
Oh man. I enjoyed the fuck out of it, honestly.
I did too. Yeah. I had a great time.
I really did. We laughed.
Good job, Dr. Brian. We laughed.
I put the blanket over my face when Bandit was being drowned by the cougar.
Yeah.
I was surprised over and over by how exciting it was and how violent, but also how sweet it was.
Like, nature is violent.
You won't see movies like this anymore. I mean, for good reason. You know, like
leave the fucking bison alone. They've been through a lot.
Living creatures in this much danger.
Damn humane society.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have to put that aside, because I do. I don't like seeing animals get hurt or exploited. But it already happened. These animals are long dead. Right. So it's
But I don't feel like they set up the animals to.
No.
They just happen to catch footage. They just caught nature in its pure form.
We don't know.
I had this instinct. That. Like, why aren't you helping this fucking raccoon? This is not a fair fight, but damn if Bandit didn't do it. And then I was like, Amy, that is just nature and you have to be cool.
Yeah, documentarians, they don't, you know, a lot of times they're not supposed to.
No, I don't know fear. How to be cool.
Well, you gotta let the cougar eat, right? Though now it might starve to death.
Real quick, I want to talk about the end where the he finally tracks down the killers and he goes to the bar.
He fucking blows them away.
And Samson just goes through a rampage through that bar.
He goes through the fucking window, like right through the front door of
just a regular saloon, like you've seen a million times.
The Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and these people, and these like Disney. These other actors are genuinely trying to dodge a buffalo.
It didn't even occur to me. Yeah, they're in there with a running around buffalo.
Yeah.
These actors could have died.
It should have probably. That's the luck that they were granted that day.
They generally look scared at that point.
They were.
I would be. Just standing.
I bet they were.
You know, you don't even want to be behind any kind of hooved animal.
No.
This did not seem like it had like. I bet they didn't invest a lot in like safety.
It's the same team from that Alec Baldwin movie, right, Russ?
Oh.
Was that not? That's not cool. You're right.
Somebody actually died.
Oh, I should say, this actor,
there's a reason there's not a lot of information about this movie on the internet.
They're still scrubbed. They're still trying to finish it, aren't they? That's crazy.
Oh, well, Rust? Yeah.
I don't know about that.
They are, actually.
Rick Gwynn, the guy who plays Buffalo Jones, was in a movie called Space Patrol, and now I want to see it because I love the name Space Patrol.
I mean, you got me already.
And I'm in love with Rick Gwynn's mustache.
Let's do Rick.
You love Buffalo Jones?
Let's do Gwynn month.
Do you think he has that? Maybe, there's not enough movies to do a month.
No, we do Fred Gwynn.
Oh!
Do you think he's just going to be like Jupiter Jones in this one? Like
Jupiter Jones.
I know the story of a man who circled around the rings of Jupiter.
I'm a riding a comet through space with my space raccoon.
Bandit.
Pew, pew.
This was a lovely pick. Thank you so much, Brian.
Great job. Enjoyed the shit out of it.
Your homework is to watch Guy in a Buffalo.
Okay.
And the Zaxby's ad, so we can discuss later.
Will there be a quiz?
I liked Zaxby's. I know you guys didn't enjoy it.
Too greasy. It was fine.
Too greasy. Way too greasy.
I was just...
We have to travel for Zaxby's.
It was the novelty of it because we don't have Zaxby's around here. Like, ooh, look at all the stuff they have.
Raising Cane's is the closest
thing. It tastes just like Cane's. Yeah, I didn't like Zaxby's.
I don't like Cane's either.
I don't either.
Well, let's fight.
Oh, I don't either.
Kelly, you and I. We can hang these two. They can go eat their Zaxby's.
Zaxby's. Raising Cane's is overrated. I feel it's very dry.
Same food.
I like the sauce. I know the sauce
is good. The bread is good. The fries are good, but the
chicken is dry.
Which is supposed to be the star.
Chicken's a little dry.
It's supposed to be the star.
The chicken's a little dry.
You know who the star is. All of these people I'm about to say hi to.
Oh, you guys are the star.
These are our Beelzebubs. Patreon.com/NOTLP if that's something you want to do. And I will begin. Elise.
I'll see you in a little bit, my love.
Alyssa. Brandon and Emily. Jeffel.
Hey, Jeff.
Dustin.
Dustin's having himself one of them adventures.
I own a good one.
Boy, I don't think she saw that cougar creeping up on her.
Dr. Brian, of course, again, thank you so much.
We could use someone like you here in town, Dr. Brian. Someone came through yesterday with an entire cougar.
Cougar?
An entire cougar attached to their back.
All right, let me give you a few more. Bill Chandler, Bill Farner, Frosted Blakes,
Oh, shit.
Plain yogurt. Jordache jeans. Paul. Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora. I was just thinking how ridiculous some of this sounds to people who are just tuning in for the first time.
Nobody's Gamora Rider.
These are nicknames that they've earned, yes. Okay?
Gamora is an... what is she, an English Mastiff?
I don't...
Huge.
She's a big girl. She
isn't that always your favorite first episode of a podcast? Listen to the one where they're talking to their longtime listeners.
That's every episode for us, though.
I
just met them.
Did I say Ernie yet?
Ernie Jones.
Dave Siebert.
Dave Siebert Jones.
And Monica.
Monica Ryder.
Somebody tame Monica.
Someone tame Monica, finally.
Oh, no.
Boy, she was a bucking and a moving in a way that wasn't kind to my undercarriage.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't try to tame an animal and ride an animal that is not made for that. It could hurt their back.
Yeah. Just don't. Just leave them all alone.
They have to have backs made for that. Think about you. Somebody just ran up and got on your back. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Einstein was wondering if he should go to